Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 24, recorded on March 18th, 2024, after a two-week break. We are back, Pirate. How you doing, buddy?
Happy belated St. Patty's Day to you all.
Yeah, well, we had a little get-together at your house with for St. Patty's, man. That was a lot of fun, man. A little low-key, nothing crazy happened. Some of our friends behaved.
And we had our kilts on.
Yes, yes. Pirate and I and a mutual friend of ours, we wore our kilts, and that was the first time. And first time for me. I'd never worn a kilt before. It just felt like I was wearing a towel. How about you?
Yeah, I walked in front of the fan. I did the Marilyn Monroe one time. I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, good thing I didn't get that on video, right? I did see what happened. Of course, the standing question that night is, are you wearing underwear? And it's just like, yes, I'm wearing underwear. I am not doing a Mel Gibson Braveheart here trying to moon the English, you know?
Yeah, well, I think our friend the mate, he was wearing nothing under there.
No, he admitted to putting something on himself. So oh, okay. He chickened out too, and he's more from that land than us, you know. So he chickened out too, man. So yeah, don't listen to what he said, because you know it's one of those things when you're amongst the guys, like, yeah, I'm gonna blah, 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 and then come actual time when you're around the ladies, nah.
Yeah, it felt good to have a little extra air conditioning going on, though, I will say that.
Oh, that's what I was telling your daughter, because she kind of liked the kilt, and I was just like, you know, this is kind of nice. Now I see why you ladies wear dresses. You know, it keeps, especially for us guys, it'll keep things a little drier back down there in the gooch area. You
yeah,
know?
Southern exposure.
You know, I had to throw that one in there.
Oh, yeah. So let's...
Whoops.
What's that going on here?
I hit the wrong thing.
Somebody turn the channel here.
Yep. Bad producer.
Let's talk about tomorrow in Florida, Chewy. You know what's going on here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We have the Florida primary is tomorrow.
And?
Are you going to go vote, sir?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on my lunch hour with my wife. We're going to
hit
our new polling station. There's only one little chunk of people to vote for because, you know, we're voting, you know, the Republican ticket. Because in Florida, it's either the Democratic or Republican. There is no independent, which...
Well, I'm voting in my first primary tomorrow because I've been independent for a long, long time.
And you switched over to the dark side.
I did. I switched over to the dark side. But conveniently enough, my polling station is my church. And since I work from home, I'll go about 9:15, 9:30. I'll be in and out of there in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's a church up the street from my house. I'm just going to roll up there around lunchtime, hit it. And I don't think there'd be too many people. And maybe, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, why are the voting stations at the churches?
Well,
kind of weird. You know, and where I'm going with this is that you always hear about the Constitution and the separation of church and state. Now,
I know where you're going with this.
Now, before you guys get our listeners be like, yeah, it's supposed to be separation in church and state. That statement does not exist anywhere in the Constitution. Now, the founders did want to keep the church and state separate, but they did that in how the Constitution's written. Where that statement came from, the governor of Virginia wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson, and he says, hey, we would like to adopt a state religion, but we're worried that might violate the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson wrote him back and explained to him that what you do as a state of Virginia, as long as it does not violate the federal government and the Constitution, you can go ahead and pass a law like this. He was saying the federal government can't make a national religion, and he said that gives you that separation of church and state, and basically reiterating to a state of your state rights that you are in no violation to do this. So people took that and they flipped it around into the federal government and say, well, there's separation of church and state. And it's just like, but, you know, it doesn't exist in the Constitution is what it comes down to. Our states can do what we want with our religions.
Yeah. And when I lived down the road a little bit, We lived in a rental home for a while, and the bingo hall was our polling.
Okay.
And then another time we moved to another neighborhood, and it was the VFW.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not always a church. It's just some neighborhoods just don't have any halls or or meeting areas. Yeah, so they probably, when they map these things out, when the...
And it helps that these venues are getting paid.
Yeah, yeah, they
get a little... So the church is taking government money.
Yeah, you know, they like money.
But they take government money from the, what do you say, the parishioners or whatever?
Parishioners,
yeah, yes. That's government money, too. So I know it's apples and oranges. I'm just having a little fun with this. That's all it is. It's just like, why are they always at churches?
We used to go to the one church on the other end of our road, and they since have changed that church, so we're going to the church on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
So... a lot of the actual poll workers is what they call them.
Yeah.
Some of the ladies, the older ladies that were there, were actual, like, they attended that church.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because they knew where everything was. They were open.
You know. I bet you the pastors asked for volunteers to work at polling stations. Yeah.
But you can go on the president of elections website.
Uh-huh.
And you can join... and be a volunteer, you got to go through a vetting process and all, and you actually get paid.
Okay.
And every poll worker gets paid. It's like a civic duty.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like volunteers.
It's like jury duty. Yeah. It's like,
okay.
My stepfather did it for many years. He loved being a poll worker, and he worked at night. So during the daytime, it was great. And one time they made him like captain. So he had to go and set all the little, you know, tables up with the little blinders and boots and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got paid a little more for being like the captain. He had to be there from sundown to sun up.
Yeah, we don't get the blinders down here in Florida. We just get plastic barriers, you know. Because when we were kids, I always saw like places like New York City and stuff. They go in the booth and they hit the thing and the curtain, you know. So the first time I voted, I was expecting that. And actually, I voted in Japan, so... so, you know, it's like, but it was still on base, of course. And I was just like, yeah, you know, let me go vote. And then it's just like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah, this was in South Brandon when we lived down that way. He set up these big, like, metal pipes, and they had, like, curtains on them, and they would set them a certain way so, like, people would be on one side voting. And
right.
He made partitions or whatever. That's what they wanted at the time.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore. Yeah. Now it's just a little desk kiosk, right?
Yeah, well... you know, I'm still going to vote, but it's not going to change anything now. It's pretty much locked in that it's Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I mean, there's just, you know, they haven't announced any like third party stuff yet, like definitely. And I know Robert Kennedy Jr. is looking into it. There's this congressman, I didn't catch his name. He's from New York. He's running third party. He's actually he actually tried to challenge Joe Biden. And then just decided to go independent.
I remember his
challenge. Like Robert Kennedy, he had to go independent because the Democrat Party wouldn't support him. Like they didn't even give them an option. But when I get it, because they were basically challenging Joe Biden, and the Democrat Party's like, oh no, there's only going to be one choice on the ballot for the Democrat Party, and that's Joe Biden.
But
so
on our ticket, we've got Nikki Haley.
Yeah, yeah, she's still in it.
Chris Christie.
Oh, fat ass is still on there?
He's still on there. So this is your chance. This is your chance, man.
To vote for fat ass? Yeah. You never know. He's like Cartman of South Park. Yeah, I mean, that's his nickname in South Park. They call him fat ass.
Vivek Ramaswamy's on there.
No. It can't be because Vivek and Ron DeSantis have dropped out.
No, they're all going to be on that ticket.
They'll still be on the ballot.
They will be.
Oh,
they will be on that ticket.
So you're wasting your vote if you vote for one of them. Because I'll tell you right now, Ron DeSantis and Vivek is out.
That is the thing.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that are going to get fooled into it. And you're going to see the little ticker on the bottom. You're going to see votes for 1% for Vivek.
I never really paid attention to that before.
On the votes that were up in North Carolina and up in...
okay.
What was it? New Hampshire and all that?
Yeah, yep.
There was DeSantis came in at so many percents. And
okay. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a problem. That takes votes away from, you know, who counts in this. You know?
Yeah, well, you can argue that on both sides because, you know, that's what they're worried about. But, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure who I'm voting for. So,
you need to make a decision tonight, whoever is listening. You know, I mean, I know the show will be out by tomorrow, but
Yeah, but it's still relative because we still have the general in November.
Yeah, and there's other states behind us here, you know.
Yeah, we still got there's still plenty of states that still have to vote. We're just not part of the Super Tuesday thing, which was 2 weeks ago, where a bunch of states that decided to all have their elections on the same day.
On the same, but if you're in a state that is coming up and coming for the primary, it's time to think about it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you check out that State of the Union address by our president?
Yeah, I've seen tidbits of it. I know that you have some extensive notes. Let's hear them, man.
No, not extensive. I only made it about 25 minutes in.
That's
man.
Enough. That's all we need to hear.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting was Marjorie Taylor Greene from the Republican side. I think she's a little cuckoo, but whatever. She was wearing a MAGA hat and a shirt that said, "Say My Name, Lincoln Riley." And I didn't think Joe would interact with her, because when he came down the aisle, man, he was very friendly. I mean, he was shaking hands with everybody, talking, some people taking selfies, which I thought was a little stupid. We got congressmen and senators taking selfies with the president.
Haven't they met him before? What the hell?
Yeah, but it's like, hey, brag to my friends and family. Look, I got a selfie with the president. Even with Joe Biden, as much as I don't like him, if the opportunity was there, I probably wouldn't take a selfie, but I'd ask somebody else to take a picture with me just to say I met the president. That would be kind of cool.
I actually would like to take a selfie with him and then make my own T-shirt with my face and his face.
There you go. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Don't be similar to the shirt I wore at the party, right?
Exactly.
But so she actually handed him a pin that said Lincoln Riley on it.
Nice.
And during the speech, which we'll get into what I did watch, he did mention her name. So he broke out of the script, out of the teleprompter, and not the context, just took a pause and brought up her name and said she was killed by an illegal. And he took all kind of shit from that
the next day
on the news, because he actually used the term illegal. And then a couple days later, he apologized and he said, "I shouldn't have said that. I should have said undocumented worker." I'm like, oh my God. But then at the same time, the Republicans were ripping on him because he mispronounced her name. And it's like, oh, come on. It's not a common name. It's actually Lincoln, L-A-K-E-N. And he said Lincoln Riley. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. It just, look, I don't like Joe Biden, but the conservative media was laying it on a little thick about that themselves. I'm like, get out of here with all that.
Yeah, they're going tit for tat,
Yeah, but like I said, I only made it about 25 minutes in because I just started catching just one lie after the another. And the one that came to the top of my head, he was going on about how he defeated Big Pharma. And I was like, excuse me, you defeated Big Pharma? Big Pharma got record-breaking profits during COVID from the free vaccines you gave out. So the federal government paid these corporations billions of dollars for a vaccine that you and I both now doesn't work. So it's like, what are you talking about? And then I was just like, and that's the biggest one I can remember. I mean, there was an interruption by a person in the
Marines
upstairs. Yeah, the guy, this father who's a Gold Star father, he lost his daughter in that Afghan withdrawal where those Marines got killed.
Yes.
And he was screaming out her name and wanted the president to do the same thing like Lincoln. And unfortunately, he got arrested over and released, got a hand slap, probably have to pay a couple $100 fine. But it just had a hard time.
He really didn't even hit any points on actually how the actual real state of the union is.
Yeah, he didn't. And one of the big embarrassments I thought was for him was at the beginning of his speech. Again, I can't give you the context of it, but on abortion, he basically called out the Supreme Court justices right in front of their face, because all nine of them are there in their robes and everything.
Yes.
And I'm like, whoa. And even Chief Justice Roberts very carefully just shook his head and just said, and you can read his lips. He said, that's not true. Yeah, because he slammed on the Supreme Court for reversing abortion. And that's got the country in turmoil and everything. But again, it's a state. They basically, just like we talked about earlier, the Supreme Court ruled that 50 years ago that those justices didn't have the right to tell a state whether you can or cannot get an abortion. That's up to the state. So they said their decision 50 years ago was wrong, Roe v. Wade.
Right.
And they gave it back to the states. And a lot of states have abortions. You got to travel there if you want one. But some of the women are like, well, you know, that's not right. I should have one in my own state, too. I'm like, sorry, we got different rules. You know, we got different rules. I know that sucks. If you want to go get an abortion, you're going to have to travel. But these days and age, you can go on the internet and get a GoFundMe set up and someone will send you a couple $100 to go get a plane flight. You know, I mean, you know, so yeah, he slammed on the Supreme Court for that decision on abortion. And I'm like, the guy you're supposed to uphold and defend the Constitution and you don't get the Constitution. But that's the biggest problem in DC these days is that they don't do anything with the Constitution. They make this stuff as they go. And he's feeling the sting of it, man. His poll numbers are in the tank right now. Donald Trump is still gaining popularity. His rallies are still doing well. He still has to deal with all these trials and everything. But there was a poll put out a couple weeks ago that the Democrats are losing young adults and Hispanics and Black people.
Yes.
You know, because they're like, this, you know, the border denying, these two proxy wars we're in, the inflation, and people don't understand on the Democrat side why this is happening, because it's like, how could you not support Joe Biden and support Donald Trump? They're assuming they're supporting Donald Trump. Like you said, there's other candidates out there. If you don't like Donald Trump, you can pick some.
There's a ballot card chock full of candidates.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, go ahead and vote for one of them. See what happens.
But the Democrats are in a little bit of a panic right now because they are losing voters. People are going independent or switching to Republican or Green Party or whatever. And I got the sound clip that I heard from Greg Gutfeld on Fox News the other day. And it really blew my mind because he basically talked about in the context of what we're having here, what we're talking about. He basically put it into words, and I couldn't figure it out as a man. I couldn't figure out why I'm feeling off about things in this country the last few years. And he said it perfectly, and I think that's why Gutfeld, to me, is borderline genius. And this is the one of the only few reasons I watch Fox News because of his show, because of the things he comes up with, but he can still make it funny. This is a serious bit here, but it goes along with how we feel. So let me go ahead and cue this up here, and then we'll opine on it.
Of the Trump bowl. And Biden was merely the worst halftime show in history, worse than Maroon 5 of 2019. And that is saying something. You know, we keep talking about the Black and Hispanic vote, but we're missing what it really is. The Dems aren't losing the Black and Hispanic vote. They're losing the Black and Hispanic men, right? Why don't they break that down, that men are fleeing the Democratic Party like it's a showing of Barbie? It's because it's terrifying to them that they're becoming the party of awfuls, right? Affluent, white, female liberals. The Democratic Party has become like almost like a political version of the Bud Light commercial with Dylan Mulvaney. They've alienated men in order to please miserable activists. And men are like, hey, we know when we're not wanted. We'll see ourselves out. We know what a woman is. Right? We know what's best for our kids. We know what it takes to protect our cities and our families. And we're tired of apologizing for laughing at funny jokes and at having natural testosterone. Right? So they know that the Democratic Party has become a gender specific party. And it is run by a specific type who deny biology, deny reality, deny common sense and laws necessary for safety and security. Because you know why? They're too mean. It's no different than a teacher's lounge at Smith College. They've alienated men in favor of tormented activists. And I would just like to know, what has Joe Biden, what has the Democratic Party ever said about men? Anything? It's about women. It's about gender. It's about trans. And it's about race. Right? And they got so obsessed with race, they forgot about the sexes. Especially one half of the sexes. It's a party that's inhospitable to the Y chromosome. If you're a man, why stick around? Why?
Why? Mm.
Dude, I think he knocked that out of the freaking park.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's what I felt years ago, and I just said, hey. Well,
we as men are getting left out in this charade of craziness going on in pop culture, in community, in schools.
Political correctness. Wokeism.
All that.
It's all geared, like you said, towards the Y chromosome.
Yeah.
It's all about votes.
Well,
it's about drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but they are losing the votes because of these policies that are put out there where it's got to be pro-women, it's got to be pro-gay, it's got to be pro-trans, it's got to be all this crazy stuff that you and I are not involved with. And I've got no problems with gay people. I've got gay friends. It's not about that. It's about how corporations and the media and the Joe Biden and the federal government are all pushing agendas where men are left out. And it's just like what Gutfeld said, hey, we'll go somewhere else then. You know, we don't have to spend our money like Bud Light. We talked about this off camera before, off mic before.
I wish we had a camera.
Yeah. off mic before, but the Bud Light reference is true, you know, and it wasn't just Bud Light that lost $13 billion in sales. The whole company did, because guys were just like, hey, you know, I can't part of that.
No, I drank Bud Light for years.
It
blew me away when I knew that Bud Light was about sports, about having a good time, about a bunch of guys
partying,
sitting on a tailgate, having a Bud Light, going to a bar. Let me get a Bud Light.
Yeah.
It was always mainly a man-focused beer. Right. I never seen too many women come in, let's get a couple Bud Lights. I mean, of course, women do drink it. Okay? Right.
And Anheuser-Busch made the big mistake of making their business model cater to trans people, or maybe even the gays who are still, you know, less than 3% of the population. Well, guess what? Your sales are going to go down.
And that
woke marketing lady that they fired, thank God.
Yes.
When she explained, before she got fired, when she explained why she did what she did, she said something like, well, Bud Light had this fraternity kind of look to it, and I was hoping to take it in a different direction to break that stereotype. And it's like, so you want to insult men is really what it comes down to. And then crazy enough, the internet's forever, right? They got a picture of her, a frat party in college, and she's drinking a Bud Light. So what she slammed on as a professional marketer, she completely forgot about it and tried to turn this into this trans thing with Dylan Mulvaney. And it's just like, oh boy, man, you know, and you know, forgive and forget, or I say, forgive but don't forget. I'm off the boycott for Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch or anything like that. I think they got the message.
Yeah, and I'm not like holding a chip.
Well, even President Trump says, hey, enough. They suffered for this. They did. And the U.S. Dana White took a lot of crap with the USC because he allowed them to become an official sponsor of the USC. You know what that is? It's offering, it's a peace offering. And sure, it's just like, you guys suffered of a stupid marketing campaign, which apparently they claim at Anheuser-Busch that they didn't know about, you know, and it's just like, you guys are the executives. You're literally in charge of this company. How did a major commercial like this with Dylan Mulvaney, a trans influencer, how did that get past you? I think they're full of shit. They probably thought it was a good idea. And then, of course, officially later on, they say it was a bad idea because the sales tank.
Well, I mean, what this is the Democrat Party using, you know, pop culture, using big brands, big companies as a tool to market, of course, the beta male.
Yeah.
Female Y chromosome, like he said.
Yep.
And all these, you know, other races. But, you know, if all you have is the beta male and women, I mean, you're...
Well, he said you alienated literally half the population.
And you've alienated a lot of hardworking alpha males that are like, hell, I'm not getting represented here, then I'm out.
Yeah.
And that's why they're ticked off, because they see the numbers that Trump or maybe RFK is getting.
Yeah.
Because they want an alternative. They want someone that's going to talk about them.
Right.
You know, right. Put their interest. Wouldn't you want your interest at, you know,
yeah,
put in the forefront? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I get it. Abortion and all these things are important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when does a man's thing get put to the forefront, you know?
Right. Or just even talked about or highlighted. You know, we get called misogynist. We get told you can't say that. And I mean, like, I'm at the point now, go fuck yourself.
Right.
I will say what I want, because this is America and you disagree with me. And since you disagree with me, stop talking to me then. Go away. You know, if I piss you off, I don't care. This is our podcast right here. And I'm more of the cursor on this show anyways. And that's what it is. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. If we ever had to go to like a network, we'd have a lot of beep, beep.
Yeah. Well, if we can get on XM, we don't have to worry about that, because they don't censor on XM.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Well, anything else to add to State of the Union before we wrap this up?
Nah, the State of the Union's in bad shape, folks. So.
It is. And I know that. Even with this momentum from Trump, the reason why we're going to the primary, we got to make the numbers look better for Trump. And we just can't have Joe Biden again as president. That's just my flat out opinion. And I'm not saying it has to be Trump. I like Kennedy. You know, he seems pretty cool to me. You know,
here's one final thing. One final thought, Chewy.
Yeah.
Are you better off than 4 years ago?
Exactly. And I say no.
Florida man stories, the stories everyone likes to hear here in Florida. Got a really good story here, Chewy. Wait to hear this one.
Can't wait.
Yep, because I know you love to hear these stories.
Yeah.
Florida man refuses to sell home to developer. Now house is in the shadows. The home at 2915 Coconut Grove Drive in Coral Gables is smack dab in the middle of a million-square-foot complex. And it's the small home of a Orlando Capote, a Cuban immigrant. It's a typical Mediterranean one-story, two-bedroom stucco home with a tile roof. And, of course, it's that Coral Gables neighborhood, which was, I'm sure you've been to that neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, it's the fancy neighborhood of Miami.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
And area. Old, too. Yeah. It's been around a long time.
This is the Art Deco 60s style home that they built in this area. And he said it was a thriving neighborhood when they moved there in 1989. So on all sides of Capote's home, it's surrounded by parking garages, office buildings, and a 14-story Lowe's hotel. And for most of the year, Capote's home is in the shadows because of the sunlight. Some of the trees and plants, shrubs, are all dying from low sunlight. And the shade from the high-rise buildings that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And so access to Capote's home have been blocked. They put large planters in the front of the home to hide... in an effort to hide Capote's home. And the only access to his home is a unmarked alley that is at the end of his backyard. He cannot get the city of Coral Gables to haul away piles of yard debris.
Mm-hmm.
And for months, he has been negotiating with the city over code violations.
That they're doing.
That Coral Gables is issuing him.
Oh.
You know, the code enforcement.
Yeah.
You know,
because of all his shrubbery and bushes and everything.
Yeah, he says he's got overgrown grass and also feral cats and among other things. And at one point, the fines have been around $30,000.
So this house is probably a dump.
No,
it's not a dump.
No, it's. I looked it up on Google Maps and Google Earth. I looked at the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2011, he said that's when the developer had started coming around.
Yeah, and putting all that stuff around his house.
Well, they started buying up homes, and they came to him. You know, Capote's 68 years old. He's a professional engineer. He's well-versed in planning and zoning laws. And so for about two decades, he's been engaged in this struggle against the developers. And his family has owned this property since 1989. So.
Plus, you mentioned he knows zoning law. So this is like his bread and butter, and he's seeing stuff that's like, whoa, man, come on.
Yeah, he argued about fire access. He argued and all these things that he argued about the fire department, about all these things. He won every time, and his home is in the middle. And then, of course, there's a big mega retail complex, kind of like Channelside has.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine having a house right next to Channelside.
Oh, boy.
That's what it looks like. He's got this little pie-shaped yard.
So his neighborhood is not a neighborhood anymore.
No. Now, if you go down about two blocks over, the neighborhood continues again.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
developer just came in and bought like 20 houses.
Yeah, and then put all this retail and hotels, like you said, around his house.
And I kind of felt bad for the guy, Mr. Capote, because I was like, you know, he's lived there his whole life. That's his home.
Yeah. So what's his next battle here in this story?
He's just going to battle these $30,000 fines, which he says he thinks he can win because they're not coming to pick up his debris. So why make a mess?
Right.
Why cut stuff?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, Godspeed to Mr. Capote.
Oh, yeah.
This actually wasn't a crazy story. This was, you kind of feel bad for him.
Well, I mean, it's you don't hear a lot of stories where like a house is wedged in between a 14, 15 story hotel.
Right, right.
So that definitely fits a Florida story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It just caught my eye. Allegedly, we have a Florida man that rigged a New Orleans roulette machine to win nearly 70 grand.
Nice.
Yeah. Florida man tampered with video roulette machines and made off with nearly 70 grand. Michael Vincent Shea, 33, of Coral Gables. Pleaded not guilty to charges of felony theft and modifying gaming devices to affect the results of a wager. Shea and his friend, his accomplice, are also accused of a three-day cheating spree at a casino in 2022 in which he illegally won
$68,000. Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Man.
And then he's getting lucky here.
Well, how do you get in to rig the tables?
Well, let me continue, and then we'll tell you here. It says the two men were seen on surveillance video tampering with the machine.
Oh, they went in ahead of time.
They went in. They went and probably rigged it or had a screwdriver or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they had it like the old cable TV box where you took a little card and put it in there.
I remember that. That actually worked.
It did.
Yep.
So how they managed to manipulate the machines is not being disclosed. For obvious reasons, said the sheriff's department.
Oh, yeah.
So they weren't disclosed.
Well, yeah, they don't want other people to find out about that.
Hell no. Can you imagine now? Everyone would be going in there.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Shea and his friend have swindled the winnings of roulette over the last 2 years and several casinos throughout the area of Louisiana and also Missouri.
So they get around.
Yeah, they were up in Missouri, and he got apprehended in Missouri. They caught him on camera, and he now is going to appear on court in April 4th.
Ah.
Yep. Another story. Florida man sets fire to rabbi's van outside Fort Lauderdale Jewish Center.
God. Oh, boy.
Oh, these people, man.
Yeah.
Police in South Florida arrested a man, they say, intentionally set fire to rabbi's car Saturday morning. This happened just this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Police responded to Jewish Center around 7:20 a.m. The center's rabbi, Chayan Slavatiki.
I wouldn't even attempt that.
Yeah, dude.
Nope.
Got a knock on his door alerting him to what was happening outside.
Are you sure we're talking about the same people?
Security cameras show a man, Scott Hannaford, 50 years old, lit the van on fire, which spread to part of the buildings and the kitchen area and other parts of the building.
Oh, geez.
So this center, which was pretty nice, I've seen a picture of it. It suffered smoke and soot damage throughout. They had their services this weekend outside.
What a jerk, huh?
Yeah. Mr. Hannaford is a transient, unhoused person.
Mm-hmm.
And appears to suffer a mental illness.
Is that the new word for homeless?
Yeah, I'm starting to use that because they're not homeless. They are unhoused.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was arrested on two counts of arson, criminal mischief, and here's the kicker, possession of cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes, yes. Angry Florida woman allegedly breaks into ex-boyfriend's home, tosses can of pickled pork on couch, and throws Sprite soda at ex-boyfriend.
You sure this wasn't in a trailer?
No. According to Lee County Sheriff's, which is Fort Myers, Akivia Reddick, 22, took the spare key from under the doormat and then entered the home of the ex-boyfriend. When deputies arrived, body cams then captured Reddick throwing bottled Sprite at the ex-boyfriend and hitting him in the head.
Ouch.
Yeah,
poor guy. That would hurt.
Yeah, I hope it was plastic.
Yeah, I know. And, oh, man, if it was the glass ones we grew up with, whoa.
Big old 32-ouncer.
Might as well be a rock.
Yes. She also threw an additional home items and broke them.
Mm-hmm.
Reddick began yelling at the victim repeatedly and said she wanted to fight him.
Oh, nice. Lady's got some balls on her.
She was pissed because I guess he broke up with her, you know?
Yeah, man, that sucks.
And the deputy then separated the pair, but even after she was separated, she came back and she grabbed a jar of pickled pig's feet, opened it, and threw it all the contents all over the sofa, and it went everywhere.
Who's going to clean that up?
I don't know, man. Maybe they got a dog pit bull in the corner, might want to lick it up.
Lick it up.
Yeah. Reddick was arrested for battery and burglary and criminal mischief. I have another story, but I heard Chewy has a story, so I'm going to let him read a couple stories.
Yeah, I got a few here. Human trafficking bust. Teacher coaches among the 220 arrested in Polk County. So nearly 230 people arrested and 13 potential victims were rescued during an 8-day multi-agency undercover human trafficking investigation in Polk County. According to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, teachers, coaches, medical professionals, active duty military members were among the arrested in the Operation March Sadness 2024. Nice take on that there. Sheriff Grady Judge, badass guy, said there was over 150 suspects arrested for soliciting and prostituting and traveling to undercover locations to negotiate to have sex in exchange for money. 12 other suspects were arrested, and of those, 8 were either deriving proceeds from prostitution or taking prostitutes to undercover locations. Those of you from Polk County know better, Judd says. We talk about this, we don't hide it. If you know about it, you obviously live under a rock. You had to learn the hard way, but for the rest of you, pay attention. This is not the last operation. We'll have more and give you the opportunity to be arrested if you're stupid enough to show up. Detectives charged a total of 70 felonies and 288 misdemeanors during the investigation. The suspects' criminal history included a total of 879 felonies and 1,150 misdemeanors. Man, what's going on in Polk County? They seem to be doing these busts so often, man.
I guess there's a lot of horny people.
Is it a bunch of pervert yeah. county or something? Because
horny and perverted,
I mean, this
people.
Is prostitution. So my take on prostitution, it's amongst two consenting adults. I think that's a little stretch. But the other part of that's been going on in Polk County is child sex rings and sex slaves. That's crossing the line. You're holding somebody hostage, and you will only stay in the basement if they we still have a couple in this state, not a whole lot.
Well, I think what's happening is like you say, it's human trafficking.
Right.
And it's not like in Las Vegas where you can go to the Bunny Ranch and partake in legal prostitution where you say, I need a girl for the night.
Right.
This is, let me get a 12-year-old blonde, you know, and I'll pay big money for it. And I think that's what's happening because these people just sit up in their little trailer parks out in South Lakeland or whatever, and they're all lathered up, and you know they just want to see a 12-year-old or something. Oof,
man,
that's,
but I'm glad they're out there doing these stings.
They need to. They need to.
Yeah. So a couple more here. I'll pass it back to Pirate here.
Yes.
Quick ones here. Florida man breaks into jail to smoke blunt with friend.
Nice.
I guess he's going to join him in jail now, but without the blunt.
Yes.
Florida woman arrested for trying to poison her boyfriend with bleach and tea. His suspicion was his teeth was getting very white. Back to you, Pirate.
Oh, my God. Those are some stories. All right, here we go. This is a bigger, this is a fish story.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Classic fishing story. Yep. Coming on up.
Fisherman hospitalized after giant alligator bites off his hand in Florida pond.
Ooh. Oh, man. That sucks for him.
I'm telling you, I'd hate to have that happen.
Ooh, lose a hand? Yeah.
Yeah. A Florida man is in the hospital after losing his hand to an alligator bite in Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
The fisherman was reeling in a fish when the reptile appeared and opened his jaws and chomped down on the fisherman's hand.
Ooh.
The gator was after the fish, and after that, he retreated back into the water.
With his hand?
With the hand, and not the fish.
I mean you no harm.
His wife, who was with him at the time, called 911 and yelled, "His hand is gone."
Oh, God.
And within minutes, rescue personnel had arrived by helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And they
could bleed out.
Yes, you can. They airlifted him to the hospital in Orlando. And the 9'3" male gator, says the FWC, was located, excuse me, and he was considered a nuisance gator, so they shot him.
Right.
And killed him. And the likelihood, they say, of being seriously injured during unprovoked attacks is a 1 in 3 million.
Oh, chance. Yeah, dude. Come on. When we golf, we've had gators out on the fairway. We've had gators in the water. Leave them alone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, don't go up to them and try to pet them or do something.
Or take a selfie with it.
Yeah, or sit on them or something stupid like that. Just look at them from far away.
Yeah.
So that is it for the Florida Man stories today. Thank you very much.
News clips, pop culture, and tech. Have you heard about this one, Pirate? Diversity guidelines to clear landmines in Ukraine.
Nice.
Diversity guidelines. So Canada is going to send landmine sniffers or people out to Ukraine on the condition that there is diversity. So they're trying to promote a gender and diversity working group to promote gender transformative mind action in Ukraine. The gender exclusive demining for substantial futures in Ukraine. You know what a landmine doesn't care about?
I guess it doesn't care about who you are. As long as you step on it, it's happy.
Boom. Exactly. An Australian bans billionaires plans on building Titanic 2. In other news, Joe Biden running for a second term.
Nice.
Joe Biden asks if he can take questions. His staff hustled him out of the room. They state visiting hours are over. That's a good one. Oh, at the nursing facility.
Nice.
Judge orders Fannie Willis can stay on the case as long as she fires Nathan Wade, her boyfriend. Looks like he's still getting screwed by her. A new booking tool allows travelers to avoid flying on the 737 MAX, which is very controversial right now. The Boeing CEO says his door is always open for with questions. Dylan Mulvaney debuts her new song of girlhood with Lady Gaga. Stevie Wonder says he likes it. Mike Tyson at 57 years old said he'll return to the ring to fight against YouTuber turned fighter Jake Paul. The IFBB says they will not sanction it, but he's still waiting to hear from the AARP. Arkansas rescinds general neutral driver's license policies, which put a mark on your driver's license. They say an expert will be there to prove your gender. Bill Clinton says he's available. Supreme Court in Canada's decision opts for using a person with a vagina over a woman. They claim they know a pussy when they see one. Justin Trudeau. An elderly woman just recently celebrated her 106th birthday at Walt Disney World. It's her first time going. she'll be in line to her 107th birthday.
Nice.
California to start $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food, Panera Bread excluded. He is friends with the CEO of Panera Bread, Gavin Newsom.
Oh, beautiful.
How convenient.
Yes.
How about some go woke, go broke? Google's parent companies might be feeling the heat of the stock market after the disastrous rollout of the AI Gemini chatbot last week. So, wow, they're taking a financial hit over their little biased AI stunt, as they claim, again, they knew nothing about, yet they pulled it already off the market, right?
They did, didn't they?
Yep. MarketWatch reports on Monday that shares for the Alphabet company, which is Google, which is a follow-up, fell by 4.4% to $137. The dip was equivalent to losing more than $70 billion in value. Wow, all over Google Gemini, man. That's crazy. The significant drop valued a pause in Gemini's image generation after the AI appeared to refuse to create images of white people, even in historical settings such as the Founding Fathers. Amazing. You'll like this one here, and I'll cue this up here. This is good news, but not confirmed. Rumor. Disney wants Johnny Depp to return for the Pirates of the Caribbean 6 movie.
Yes.
216 barrels of rum. Am I not the captain of this ship?
Damn straight you are.
Absolutely, we will be there for that if it happens.
Oh, yes.
The Bitcoin market cap is now worth the same as all silver in the world. Interesting, really? If you got any Bitcoin there.
I do.
Our state population will double by 2040. Babies are to blame.
Good thing.
American Airlines places its biggest order in more than a decade. American Airlines on Monday unveiled the biggest plane order since 2011, buying 260 new jets from Airbus, Boeing, and Embraer. And it looks to increase earnings by capitalizing on the booming demand for premium travel. The deal includes 85 Airbus A321neos, 85 Boeing 737 Maxes. They might want to change their mind on that one.
Yes.
And 90 Embraer E175 aircraft. The order also includes options and purchases rights for an additional 193 aircraft. Man, well, you got a couple news items in pop culture, don't you? You had Putin and...
Let's talk about this. Putin here.
Putin, Vladimir.
Yeah, this is his fifth win. He won the election yesterday.
He won the election again.
Yeah.
I thought the whole idea of the communists going away is they got rid of their premiers.
I mean, he's
acting like one.
He is pretty much a dictator. I mean,
he absolutely is. You going to tell me those elections over there are legit?
It says here.
Because he kills people who... poisons people who talk bad against him and have mysteriously deaths and disappearances.
I mean, apparently 87% of the vote was him.
Wow, what a landslide.
Yeah, that is. I mean, people were probably scared shitless. They just said, I got to vote for him. I don't want him to show up at my house tomorrow.
Or the election was rigged.
And he discussed the death of Alexei Navalny, the Ukrainian activist.
Yes.
Yeah, that died in prison last month. He discussed that. And Putin is 71 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not too old, but.
I mean, he's close to the age of Trump. And, you know, does he look it? He doesn't look it.
He's a fitness guy. He takes care of himself. He's very meticulous about what he eats.
And he
works out. He does judo.
Yeah, he's a judo. And he secured this, you know, they have a 6-year term.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be 77 when he finishes.
Yeah.
What kind of health is he going to be in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
There were rumors about a year ago he was getting sick, but, you know, just rumors.
Yeah, there's always rumors about him. But, that's what we got with that. Now,
what's up with Bernie Moreno?
Bernie Moreno is a Republican candidate that is running the candidate for Ohio because they have a seat available.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he said. He said, I am so sick of Republicans that will say I support President Trump policies, but I don't like the man, that they don't like the man. And Moreno said that he's a good man and this is a great America. And the man wakes up every day fighting for us and fighting for this country. He loves this country like no other leader. And in this nation, has ever loved this country. So, you know, pretty much he's facing the Secretary of State, I guess it's Frank LaRose and Matt Dolan up against a primary, and they're trying to go up against the third term of Senator Sherrod Brown, who's a Democrat, and they're saying that that seat's vulnerable.
Wow.
And Trump picked Moreno.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's his, you know how he hand-picks people.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
And he usually picks winners.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and let's also talk about this TikTok ban that's going on here.
And, yeah, man, what's up, what's going on with TikTok here, you know? Well, part of the idea is people, you know, the federal government, the Congress, whatever, thinks because TikTok is Chinese owned, and they haven't been able to prove this, but the allegation is that once you install that app on your phone, every keystroke, even if you're not using TikTok, is being recorded back to some company out in China.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Well, that's the conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy idea.
It hasn't been proven yet.
No, and it's kind of, do you really want the Fed going to every app that you have and saying, oh, we got to ban Facebook, we got to ban X, we got to ban, I mean, we already tried it with Twitter and X.
Well, here's the contradiction on that. The Facebook and Twitter absolutely manipulated information during the election last time at behest of the federal government. And that has been the argument, and that has been proven with Elon Musk's Twitter files. When he took over the company, he got access to documents proving the federal government was putting influence on Twitter before he purchased it to change the outcome of the election. So my question is, why aren't those two companies being talked about being removed either? Why are they just going after TikTok? Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, obviously they had roots with the Democrat Party. So in the beginning, of course, now the X is a little bit more geared for Elon's
But more back to free speech, though.
Yeah, yeah, back to free speech. But I think that Facebook has deep roots with the Democrat Party, of course.
But you're getting off topic here. This is TikTok. Why do you think they want to ban TikTok? They don't have deep roots to the Democrat Party. They're a Chinese-owned company, apparently.
I mean, it's just it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I can tell you why they want to. They don't want to ban TikTok, Pirate.
No, they don't
want to
ban
it. They want to take it over and have it only a U.S.-based operation.
So they can spy on people.
Yeah, because they know it is basically a spy app that entertains people.
Sure.
They would love to have that kind of program working for them. And God knows what kind of data, or they just say just metadata, which is just bits of data, which is still data anyways.
Which Facebook does already.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all do it.
Alexa, all these crazy things.
They all do it. Yes. Yep. Yeah, yeah, but no, to me, it's the federal government wants access to that information because they see how effective it is. My whole thing with this is that this has nothing to do with the federal government. I believe this violates the First Amendment. When it does go to the courts, the Supreme Court is going to knock it down, and they can't justify it by saying, okay, well, we're going to let Facebook and Twitter stay open, but we want to shut down TikTok or take it over. I don't want the federal government involved in any of this. And my whole thing about this is that don't these bastards got something better to do in D.C.? Because we got so many problems right now, and they're going after TikTok. I mean, I don't have TikTok, but it does entertain a lot of people. And I've seen some videos. They're funny, you know, whatever. They don't have anything else better to do.
No, because it fits their narrative. They want to know what we're saying about
them. They want to know what's going on.
They want to know what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're
to me, it's just more government overreach, man.
Yeah, and it's got to stop. And I in the beginning I was like, you know what? I don't want the Chings to be spying, but I started analyzing a little bit and thinking, you know what? This goes back to years ago when they wanted to put a label on CDs because they said a cuss word. This goes back to videos that, you know, they said, oh, rated R, you can't watch them. You know, right. These are all censorship and freedom.
It is. It's censorship is what they're trying to pull off here. And to me, it's a violation of the First Amendment. It's dead on. I mean, Joe Biden said he would sign it. It still has to go through the Senate. But The irony is his campaign is using TikTok. So why? There's no logic behind any of this.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I hope that there are some good people that are representing, our side that put their foot down and say, hell no, we're not going to.
Well, it's not even an our side. It's millions of people use TikTok in this country. There are people who make a lot of money off of it. The influencers, they ban it. You're going to put a lot of people out of work.
Yeah, and a lot of people, too, that are followers of TikTok might be a little bit pissed off.
Oh, yeah, I already know. They're already worried about it. Like we were talking earlier about the YouTube algorithm and your searches and stuff. Same thing on TikTok. The more stuff you search for, the more suggestions gives you later. Hey, you might want to watch, this,
Well, so. And I bet you it doesn't even have to mean a political party. If you like TikTok, you could be Republican, Independent. You could be Green Party.
Well, they have been known to censor conservatives, though, too.
Yes, they have.
But you got to wonder what kind of federal influence is with that, or did they do it on their own? I don't know.
So what about this, the bloodbath?
Comment? Yeah, so I got that here in my notes, too. So Trump slammed by the media for using bloodbath statements on elections. However, during the primaries in 2020, Biden used similar statements against Bernie Sanders. He says, quote, "What we can't let happen is this primary become a negative bloodbath," end quote, Biden said to a group of donors during the campaign. Plus, the media, who slammed on Trump for saying such a word, there's already montages put together of all the times they use the term bloodbath against him or Republicans or anything they disagreed with. So the media, it got huge egg in their face today because they brought up the Charlottesville thing, how there's very fine people on both sides. They use it saying that there's, that Trump supporting racists. And again, completely out of context with this, he was talking about the auto industry and the EVs and how China is building factories in Mexico.
Yes.
That if we allow that to happen, it's going to be a bloodbath because they'll be able to sell us super cheap cars.
And it'll affect our automobile industry here in the United States.
Oh, yeah. And he said he vows he'll put a huge tariff on it where it wouldn't be worth exporting those cars from Mexico into the States anyways.
And the bloodbath refers to as a business deal.
Yes.
Where he's going to say tariff.
Yes.
Against your cheap-ass Ching-Wong car.
But leave it up to the Democrats to turn that into, well, when he becomes president, he's going to start killing people.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying today, man.
They thought he's invoking violence again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's invoking violence.
They were using the word insurrection.
Yeah, I saw that too. Something like, well, what else do you expect from a January 6th or an insurrectionist?
Yeah,
they
were bringing them vocabulary words out again. They were also even using the word Hitler and dictator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all of these words, those are just ways to little cheap jabs at him, but none of this stuff's true.
Well, but look at it this way. The backlash happened, and a lot of these news agencies are getting called out on it, which they should be, because they took something completely out of context and turned it into, like you said, he's going to become a Hitler when he becomes president. So, yeah, they're a bunch of idiots.
And now an audio montage of all the times the media use the term bloodbath.
As Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Get off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
There's a
a bloodbath. I have to talk about you. And
Elaine, it's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Has it been a bloodbath on the way down? Donald Trump, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath. May not be the bloodbath.
It'll be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
A bunch of hypocrites.
So few more headlines here, and we'll move on into our next segment here. But CDC, you'll like this one, Pirate. CDC releases 148 pages on myocarditis after the COVID vaccination. Every word in the paper has been redacted.
Nice. Why?
They are slapping people in the face by saying, here's the results that, but they redacted everything on it. So they basically gave you a paper with a bunch of black lines through it, through every word.
Yeah,
because you and I both know
they don't want that, the truth revealed.
That the truth will be revealed, that you could get inflammation of the heart muscle from the COVID vaccine. I mean, still, I mean, and this story came out today. Yeah. You still, and you know, you get told you're drinking the Kool-Aid. There are too many people still drinking the Kool-Aid with that. There, this is the cover up at its finest. A Starbucks barista says there are signs you're about to get a bad cup of coffee. Yeah, the obvious that you're at Starbucks. And then wrapping up the news items, clips, and pop culture and tech, Liam Neeson is now getting ready to star in a Naked Gun reboot.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson says he would kill to have a part in the new movie.
This day in history, folks. Well, today is March 18th, but yesterday was March 17th. And let's make a little note here that it was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
The patron saint of Ireland died on this day in the year 461 AD.
Oh, so we celebrate on the day of his death.
The feast is of his death.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's celebrated mainly in Ireland and United States.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we turn our river here green, like Chicago.
Yeah. A lot of places do.
Big party down there at Channelside and Riverside, whatever. It's not Channelside, it's Sparkman's Wharf, but yeah. The Riverwalk of Tampa.
Absolutely. So let's move to March 18th, this day in history, the year 2000. Chen Shui-bia sought for statehood, and he was the rep of Taiwan.
Okay.
And, of course, he became elected as the president of Taiwan, breaking the nationalist rule of 55 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and China does still don't like that to this day.
Mm-mm.
No.
Possible conflict one day there.
Yeah.
2017, American singer-guitarist Chuck Berry, rhythm and blues and rock music legend. He died at age 90 in 2017.
Rest in peace, Chuck. Yeah. Go, Johnny, go.
Yeah, man, I loved his music.
Yeah, and then he got a little, you know, and then we found out through that beautiful movie from the 80s called Back to the Future that Chuck Berry was able to get a hold of the sound of Johnny B. Good by Marty because he played it at his parents' prom.
I'm wondering if that was ever true, but let's go.
But don't you remember the guy who hurt his hand? He couldn't play guitar. Marlin. No, no. And he goes, hey, Chuck, this is your cousin Marlin. You looking for that new sound? Listen to this.
Yeah, like they had a telephone backstage.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they had a telephone backstage. Right. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So 1990, the world's biggest art heist. 13 works of art were stolen from the Stuart Gardner Museum in Boston.
Ooh.
Yeah. None of them were ever recovered, Chewy.
Really?
Never.
Wow. Priceless art.
Yeah. And they were listing like Rembrandts and Picasso.
Oh, yeah. That's what they got a hold of? Wow.
A lot of nice stuff stolen there.
Yeah, man.
1766, the British Parliament repealed Stamp Act of 1765.
Mm-hmm.
After violent protests from the American colonists, including a group known as the Sons of Liberty.
Well, that was about the time that we as colonists were getting tired of this. They're shit.
Fed up, man.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't the beginning. This was pretty much in the middle of the bullshit that the crown was doing to the colonies, man.
And that's when the group called the Sons of Liberty. There was a lot of militias and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was the Sons of Liberty.
Wow.
1902, the Italian singer Enrico Caruso is one of the first musicians to make a first phonograph recording on the Victor record label.
Well, thank you. Awesome invention, and they're still around to this day. As a matter of fact, having a small resurgence that you can buy new records. Matter of fact, I picked up a couple the other day. I'll show you after the show.
Yeah,
I have. You know, my phonograph is off balance right now, but I gotta tune it for the weight and all that.
I've got a ton of vinyl, man. I've got it from the old days and nowadays. So
yeah,
I love it. 1871, the Commune of Paris, also known as the Insurrection of the Parisians against the French government, began on this date, lasting until May 28th.
Wow,
that was a long insurrection.
Yeah.
And they won. Let's go to born on this day, Chewy. 1975. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sutton Foster. It's her birthday.
Who's that?
American actress and singer. I don't know. Look her up.
I thought you knew her. Come on, man.
I don't know. I just write this stuff down. 1970. Here's one I know and you'll know. Queen Latifah.
Mm-hmm.
She was born on this day. She's an actress, singer, musician.
Yeah, I like Queen.
She plays on that Equalizer show now.
Yeah. Yep. I saw her in that Adam Sandler movie where he played a NBA agent and she played his wife.
That's right. That was a good movie. I like that.
Very good movie.
Yeah. That guy was tall in that movie too.
Mm-hmm.
That player.
Yeah.
1952, Mike Webster, American football or foosball player, as we'd call it. His birthday.
Okay.
1869, Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of UK before we had the...
Margaret Thatcher.
No, the cigar-smoking World War II.
Oh. I know what you're talking about. Yes. I'm just having a brain fart right now. Yep. Fun getting old. You can't remember stuff. Winston Churchill. Winston, that's who we're looking for. Winston Churchill.
Yes. The Hill of Churches. In 1837, Grover Cleveland, 29th and 31st president of the U.S.
And if history repeats itself, that'll happen again.
Yeah, he was from 1885 to 1889.
Yep, he had a break in between.
Break in between, and then 1893 to 1897.
And God hope that that can happen again with Donald J. Trump.
And he died a handful of years after 1897.
Yep. Yeah.
So he, you know, he was a Democrat though, but he, you know, he did his job two terms.
Yeah, popular enough to get elected.
So that is the segment for Born on This Day. So,
or you mean This Day in History.
This Day in History. Thank you very much.
We're live in 3, 2.
We have a new segment today, listeners. This one is called, it's the mailbag. Dear Pirate and Chewy.
Dear Pirate and Chewy.
Yes. We started getting some emails and stuff was piling up. So I got a couple. I grabbed them from our email here, and here we go.
Yeah. And, bring it on me, because I want to hear these.
And Chewy will probably help me opine. Dear Pirate and Chewy, what is the microphone of choice on your podcast? There are so many out there, and I have noticed the sound quality on your show and needed some expertise as I am starting a podcast myself shortly, and I need some direction. William in Virginia.
Well, that's a good question. Well, we use a couple different microphones. I'm using a Rode podcast microphone. And you got? You got the Shure, right?
I got the Shure podcast. And I mean
the Shure microphone. Shure microphone. Not the Shure mic. Yeah.
Yeah. It just says Shure on the side.
Yeah. We don't know the exact model number or anything. But when we first started the show, we were using a very similar Shure 58s and I think a 52 you had or something like that.
52,
yeah. And they were concert microphones and they were decent. And I bet you they would still be fine. But when we first started the show, I was recording this on a free software on my laptop and the mixer, remember that thing? It kept glitching and everything like that. So we have upgraded even our recording equipment. I'm not only just the host of the show, I'm also the producer and the editor. We recorded on a dedicated podcasting device called a Tascam Mix 4. And what's nice about it is you can hook the XLR cables into it. We can hook up our phone. Like, we had a guest one time on our show. We had Ace Man join the show, which, by the way, he said he'd like to be on the show again to talk about beer. So we'll have to schedule in him. And then what's cool is with the sound pads, you know, I can program different sounds in it. So I can pop in and on that. And we have our own individual headphone levels and also recording levels for our microphone. And it records all to an SD card. And then I pop it into the Mac and download it to the Mac, and I'll do the couple edits. It actually only takes about 10 minutes to edit the podcast. It ain't that bad. It's more of the uploading everything that take a while to actually get it onto the website. But the editing part itself is pretty cool. And then we got a couple Sony headphones we're using here, you know. Yeah. But yeah, we're basically two guys with a mixer in my kitchen, and I do know we sound better because I upgraded my mic first, and then you got inspired. You're like, oh man, that sounds good. So you went out and got yourself a good microphone yourself.
Yeah, the podcast microphone is very important, William. So if and when you do a couple practice dry runs, you're going to see the difference if you get a good microphone, like either the one Chewy uses or the one I use.
Mm-hmm.
And Chewy's got a nice little stand. I wish I had his stand. Cause it's a little bit better adjusting, but, I'm a short little pirate. So the one I got's a little tripod, but, it's good equipment.
It works for now.
Yes. Moving on. Dear Pirate and Chewy, I hear Pirate talking about Kool-Aid drinkers throughout the show and wondered what you are referring to. Also, do you too have a favorite flavor of Kool-Aid you like to drink? Jimmy in Florida. Well,
yeah. Well, you know, the whole term you're drinking the Kool-Aid basically says that you're taking in the propaganda, you're believing the lies. But there is an actual Kool-Aid reference on this show because I've been pretty much alcohol free for about 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah, congratulations,
Chewy. Thank you. And to satisfy my sweet tooth, because I do have one, I have been drinking Kool-Aid again, a 50-year-old man drinking Kool-Aid, and I sweeten it with stevia. So it's actually very sweet, but very tasty. So plenty of times on this show, the last several shows, I have literally been drinking the Kool-Aid. And right now I am drinking a pineapple and coconut Kool-Aid, a very rare flavor I found on Amazon, like everything. It's so funny these days when people ask you, where did you get that from? 99% of the time now you can say Amazon.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, do you drink Kool-Aid at all, Pirate? I know I've offered it to you, but I don't think you've taken a cup since you've been here.
Man, I ain't had Kool-Aid since I was probably a young adult.
Yeah, man.
But no. When I did drink Kool-Aid, like, grape was my favorite flavor.
That's actually one of my top favorites. And since Jimmy asked about that, my favorite is actually the tropical punch. And then I also have a mango flavor that is very, very good as well.
Oh, I never knew they had mango.
It's another Amazon purchase. Yeah, because at Publix, they only have, because I just buy the packs, the non-sugared packs, because I put stevia in it. They have all the premix stuff. They got plenty of those flavors.
Big old quart.
Yeah, but for the mix yourself, all they sell there is pink lemonade, grape, which is your favorite, and the tropical punch. So I will pick up still some packets of that. And then when I run out of inventory for the mango or the pineapple coconut, I'll go back on Amazon and order more of them. And they're like $1 a pack, which is usually more than what it would cost at Publix. But the flavor's so good. I'm like, heck yeah, absolutely. Look at it this way. I get a half a gallon of Kool-Aid for $1. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And remember years ago going into the Winn-Dixie when I was a kid, walking down aisle number 12. That's where Kool-Aid was.
Yeah, you remember the aisle, huh?
Yeah, and then I'd walk down there, and my mom would be like, you want some Kool-Aid? And I'd be like, hell yeah.
Heck yeah, man.
And it, you know, they had, like, all these little cardboard little boxes with packets of them.
Yep.
And they were, like, 18 cents each.
Oh, yeah, they're super cheap.
And you would grab, you know, two for whatever, and then you'd grab,
pick all different flavors.
Yeah, I'd mix and match. I'd grab like, man, I'd have like 10 of them. Like, hell yeah, we're going to have a Kool-Aid night. and, you know, we had a big old pitcher at home. My mom would buy a big old sack of sugar.
Yeah.
Winn-Dixie, Dixie Crystals.
yep, Dixie Crystals, yep.
Hell yeah, those are the best. And then you just get a big old wooden spoon and
got to stir it good.
Shake the pouch, throw in the Kool-Aid, throw a half cup of sugar or whatever. I think it took 2 cups sometimes. Yeah. And he'd throw some water on spigot, usually is what we'd use from the...
Right out of the faucet.
Right out of the faucet. And yeah. I'd start mixing as soon as that water got in there. And sometimes if you're lucky, some of the powder would splash up in your face, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You get that little choke from it, you know?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And you just start stirring it up, and it'd start going like a little... like a whirlpool.
That's why I pour the packet first, then I pour the water over it. So by the time I'm ready to stir, it's a little more diluted.
Yeah, and then we would just give a little taste test with the spoon.
Yep. Well, I argue Kool-Aid tastes better than ever now because, you know, even I have gone bougie and I use a Brita filter for the water.
Yeah, I see that.
So the water quality is a lot better compared to when we were as kids. But, you know, as kids, we didn't know any better. That's what it tasted like, right? And I'm on well water anyways. I could drink. I have no problem drinking water out of that. It's just, I think, you know, like for my coffee, because I'm a coffee drinker too, that they always say the better the water that's your base ingredient, the better everything's going to taste.
I have a sound clip for you.
Yeah? What you got?
That'd be some good quality H2O.
Oh, yeah. Old Bobby Boucher. Yeah. We're going to have to, I'll have to find that sound clip and just put that part in right there. That would be pretty funny. Yeah. All right. That's so what do you got one. For another story or this not is... story, another letter here.
It's clean. It's cold. And that's what I call high quality H2O.
This is the other letter that we got this week. Got it late the other evening. And okay. Dear Pirate and Chewy, I'm concerned about what's going on in our America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about what it affects me and my family on a daily basis. My question is, what can I do to help? And what do you think about folks who have not made a decision on who to vote for? Looking for the point of view from Pirate and Chewy, Joe, Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, talking politics amongst friends can be very, very touchy subject or even amongst family. Honestly, I have not heard yet from anybody who doesn't have their mind made up. What about you?
Yeah, I most people, I think they're either for Biden or for Trump. I mean, there's...
Or Kennedy.
Or Kennedy. There's that, too. I don't know anybody going, you know, hey, I don't know, but
I'm not sure,
but I'm sure there are a few. But if you are that person, it's time to think about, you know, what were the last 4 years like in your life here?
Well, it's like what you asked me before. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Exactly.
And the state of the country, the state of the world is kind of frightening with what's going on right now. Yeah. Because I live off of a main road, you're hearing some of the car stereos of the crap that you used to do. Anyways, a little sidebar there. But what do you think? I mean, I personally don't know anybody that doesn't have their mind made up yet.
No, my point of view is if you want to do something, you're concerned, mm-hmm. then you need to spread the word out. Whether they vote left, right, or center,
yeah,
everyone should vote. And, you know, I know everybody, my vote don't count. But
yes, it does.
It does. Look, get your vote out there. Get the primary vote. Get the vote on November in
for the general,
and let's do it. Let's make a record turnout this year for everybody.
Yeah, it'll make
and that'll make a difference. And what you need to do, Joe, is you need to talk to everybody in your family.
Yeah,
you need to say, hey, are you voting? You know, Uncle Ben, are you voting? Aunt Tess, are you voting?
Yes.
You know,
and you don't have to tell somebody who you're voting for.
No.
You keep that to yourself.
Yeah, you just need to. And what else can you do? You can volunteer for the party. You can volunteer for your particular candidate.
You can volunteer at the polling stations.
Polling stations, I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Or you can partake in signing up for your local government.
Yeah.
You know, get your point of view in there too, Joe.
There you go. Well, that's a good question from Joe from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Joe, we're trying to guide you here a little bit, and I hope you can take some of this info and go somewhere with it.
Yeah. Well, folks, Well, that will wrap it up for show number 24. And we're going to get to our final, or our song of the week, or our final segment of the week, which is the song of the week. But before we let you go, just a reminder that we are on www.akebonoradio.com. That's where you can listen and download the show. We are on X. Just look for at Akebono Radio. We're also on Facebook, too, and just search for All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. And if you do make it to our websites, all those extra places where I just told you about are all listed there anyways. But the song of the week is The Cult of Personality from that awesome 90s band Living Color. And this comes from their 1995 album, Pride. So yeah,
I love that song.
Yeah, man, it kicks ass. And I can't think of a more appropriate time to have a kind of song like this because, you know, whether you want to say it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump, boy, they are a cult of personality, aren't they?
They are, definitely. Both of them are.
Yeah. All right, well, that will wrap up this show, All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to the show. Any parting words before we sign off, Pirate?
Put your seatbelt on, sit down, put both hands on the wheel, and let's hit the gas.
The cult of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy, I'm the cult of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality. To be